Volume 2, 9, 26, 99. Afterwards, I looked at his most beautiful face, and in my interior, I felt the indescribable contentment. I turning to him, I said, "My most sweet love." So here we learn that in talking to Jesus, this is how we have to begin to talk to him. My most sweet love. That you are the life of my life. See, we have to understand that we have to fall in love with Jesus more now than we ever had before. Tomorrow we have to fall in love with him more than today. See, every day we're supposed to fall more and more in love with Jesus. For as a matter of fact, when you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, it's not to read holy books and to pray holy prayers. When you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, Eucharistic Adoration, when Jesus and the monstrance is there, the reason Jesus is there is so that you can fall in love with him. And to, as the saints say, your heart should be burning in love while looking at your Eucharistic Lord, falling deeper and deeper into love with him. And again, this is what our Lord is looking for. This is what he's longing for. So a lot of people go to, you know, Eucharistic Adoration, and they look at their watch, and they sit down, and they read their book, and they look at their watch, I got 15 more minutes, and they read their book, oh, I got 5 more minutes, read my book, I got 1 more minute. And then they go, I'm done, bounce off their knee and leave. That's not Eucharistic Adoration. You're just putting in your time. You see, to be in front of the Blessed Sacrament, to be in front of Jesus, is to fall in love with him. And that's why when you read this, my most sweet love, do we talk to Jesus like that? Or is it Jesus, da 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 da? See, it's to fall in love with him. My most sweet love, if I take so much delight in contemplating you, what must have been for our Queen Mama when you enclosed yourself in her most pure womb? What contentments, how many joys did you not give her? So here, Luis is understanding that when she's with Jesus and being in love with Jesus, how great it is, how magnificent it is, how much beauty, how much love, how much delight, heavenly delight she is receiving. And then she thinks about Our Lady. What joys did you give to the Blessed Mother? And then Jesus wants us to know. So he says, "My daughter, the delights and the graces I poured into the Blessed Mother were such and so many that it is enough to tell you that what I am by nature, our Mama became by grace. As God is by nature, Our Lady became by grace." So this is why she is Theotokos. She's the Mother of God. No one can compare to the Blessed Mother. How great she is. And that's why if you have an image of Our Lady at your house, you should make sure that she's crowned. Even if she doesn't have a crown on her, you make sure that you recognize who she is. If it's a beautiful statue, you get some beautiful vestments and you put them around her. You know, if you have a statue of her outside, it's just not laying on the ground. She should always be on a pedestal. Always be up higher. To show the world that this is my Mama. This is my Queen. And again, even outside, she should be crowned. To say to the world, it's just not a woman. And now what happened with Solomon, he crowned his mother Queen of Israel. And when you go to the church in Rome, Mary Major, St. Mary Major, the beautiful Church of Our Lady, you walk into the sanctuary and you look in the dome, the gilded ceiling there, and you see Jesus crowning his mother. The Son crowns the mother as queen. And see, that's what we want to do. We are her children. Each one of us is a son or daughter of Mary. And therefore, we want the world to know that she is our mother, she is our queen. So it's, again, never go overboard. You can never go overboard by honoring Our Lady. She is so beautiful. And the world doesn't know her yet. But Jesus has given this kingdom that he tells Luisa about to his mother. The kingdom of the divine will is the kingdom of Mary. And what is coming upon the earth, the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, is all about her children becoming like her son. That's what this great gift of the divine will is all about. And if you read Our Lady to Father Gobi, she says that the triumph will begin in Mexico City. Okay? In 1996, the volumes, the very first time all 36 volumes were together, were in Mexico City. And Acuna and his prayer group read all 36 volumes. They had already read 1 through 19 in Italian. They knew Italian. So when the volumes came in Italian again, they just started reading. Within a year, everything was done. They had read all 36 volumes. The Triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary began in Mexico City. And then when you look at Father Gobi in 1997, Our Lady said to Father Gobi, everything's complete, everything's done. And everybody's going, well, what happened? Well, what happened was the 36 volumes of the Luisa were read. It's complete. Everything is now on the face of the earth. Everything is ready for the great triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the Eucharistic reign of Jesus. Because Jesus says to St. Faustina, you must become a living host. And then Jesus tells Luisa how to become a living host. So a lot of people think that the Eucharistic reign of Jesus is going to be, the church is going to be filled and everybody's going to be kneeling in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Well, that's one way of thinking of it. But Jesus says that he wants us to become his food. As we have him as our food, daily bread, if we wish, at that Holy Mass, now he wants us to be his food. Now, how can we become food for God? Is if we're living in the divine will. That's the only way. And as we begin to live in the divine will, Jesus wants to devour us. Now, we say that when we see a cute little baby, oh, I could eat you up. You know, babies are so beautiful. I could eat you up. And what it is this life that God wants to breathe in us is his life. And he wants to be nourished on himself. So the Eucharistic reign of Jesus that's coming is going to astonish the world. And it's begun because of Luisa. The Triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, which is going to, the whole world is going to know about, has begun because of what Jesus taught Luisa. So our job is to understand the time that we're living in and begin to participate in this life. To really become like Jesus. So when God breathed into Adam, he breathed the image and likeness, and when Adam sinned, he lost the image and likeness of God. And what had happened was, when Jesus came to start the universal life again, the Catholic life again, through baptism we are in God's image. And now, because of this great gift of the divine will, God wants us to be in his likeness, to do what God does. And Jesus says that. He says, you'll do far greater things than I. How can we do far greater things than God? It's with God reigning in us. And as we begin to let God reign in us, he begins to do things that he has never done before. Okay, we allow him to hear in our hearing. We allow him to taste in our tasting. We allow him to walk in our walking. We allow him to swim in our swimming. Come, divine will, come reign in me. We're constantly praying. We're calling this fire from heaven to earth. Come, divine will. That's symbolized by the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Their hearts of love are going to come upon the earth. This fire is going to transform the face of the earth. The first purification was the flood at the time of Noah. It washed the world clean. from the Nephilim, from the interbreeding of the Nephilim, as Scripture says, whatever that means. The second purification was Jesus shedding his blood on the cross. He washed us clean. We were no longer slaves of the enemy. And now the third purification is fire from heaven. And it's symbolized by the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And we are the ones that are calling this fire down. Like Elijah, we wear the scapular. We wear the clothing of heaven. We make sure that we pray the rosary. And we call this fire, come divine will. And that's why Our Lady says, it's going to be good for some, it's going to be bad for most. Most people do not want Jesus or the life of Jesus. They might say they're Catholic, but they don't want the life of Jesus. And how do you know? By the way they live, the way they treat each other. If you're treating each other with harshness, Jesus isn't there. See, that's the thing that we have to purify. We have to really begin to live a life of Jesus and of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. So we call this fire down to earth, and Jesus says the survivors will be living in the divine will. See, the chastisement is coming. You can't kill 3 babies per second and not have God upset. You can't promote alternative lifestyles and say this is what God wants. You can't be addicted to all the stuff that's out there and have God say, okay. See, the chastisement is going to be very harsh. Our Lord tells Louisa that the large majority of humanity will be gone. They can't be here. Why? The kingdom is coming. And if they don't want to participate with God now, how can they participate with God later? I remember this friend of mine, when she died, I said to this nun, she's in heaven. And the nun said to me, Father, don't you understand? She lived a life of heaven. She lived a life of Jesus and Mary. So when she died, there was nothing. She continued to live a life of heaven. And it's the same thing for hell. If you're living a life of hell, don't expect to go to heaven. How can you say, well, after a life of misery, you know, all that's going on, to expect, well, I'm going to go to heaven? It cracks me up when I go to funerals, and everybody at the funeral says, well, he's playing golf with God right now. My goodness. You know, it doesn't work that way. You know, when we die, we face Jesus Christ. And at that point, there's no way that you can say you're going to heaven if you're not. Or there's no way that you can say you're going to hell if you're not. It's how have you lived your life? How have you loved the people around you? How have you loved your family? Love your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners? And again, you don't have to like them. You know, most people who are living miserable lives, you don't want to be around them, but you pray for them. This is the love. You want them in heaven. You don't have to be around them, but you want them in heaven. So how are you loving the people around you? This is why our Lord is asking us to really be attentive. Why are you washing the dishes? Why is it for the glory of God? Why are you sweeping the floor? Why are you jogging? Is everything for the glory of God? Or is it for you? Or is it for a waste of time? Think of the hours that you spent in front of the TV there was no praise of God. There was no love of God. I mean, that's really has to stop. Television, I think, as a matter of fact, Our Lady of La Salette talks about that. She says that in every house there will be a black tabernacle. In every house. Now, if this is what and then she wept bitterly. Why? For two reasons. The first reason, the men were swearing. The second reason, the men were not keeping holy the Sabbath. She wept bitterly. We're not talking about abortion. We're not talking about alternative lifestyles. We're not talking about, you know, everything else that's going on. She wept bitterly. Now, what is teaching us? What is teaching us? Is it the news? Which is, there's no good news on the news. Is it, you know, the Hollywood gypsies that are teaching us this? Who is teaching us? And see, that's why we have to give up everything in order to turn to God 100% and say, Lord, teach me, save my family. You don't want to go to hell. And again, Scripture says you'll be judged for every idle word you say. It's not talking about swearing. Scripture says you'll be judged for every idle word. So, see, this is why Jesus keeps on saying, be attentive. Be attentive. So that he can reign. So he says, in that instant, I seemed to see our Blessed Mother, our Queen Mama, as if she were another God. With this difference alone, that in God, it is in his own nature, while in the Most Holy Virgin, it is an acquired grace. Who can say how stupefied I remained, how my mind wandered at the sight of a portent of grace so prodigious? When we look at the Blessed Mother, we see God. Now, Protestants don't like to hear that, but it's true. You see the daughter of the Father, you see the mother of the Son, you see the spouse and temple of the Holy Spirit. Our invisible God is seen by this Queen Mother. But Jesus is now saying there is even more. And when Louisa looks, she sees God. Now, I remember the very first thing I read, it was in 1976 on the Divine Will. It astonished me. It says, you would look to the heavens as if in a mirror and see God. Look to the heavens as if in a mirror and see God. You know, our Lord wants us to be in his image and likeness. And this is what the Divine Will is going to bring about. We have the image through baptism. Now we're going to receive the likeness through this great gift of the Divine Will. It's not to be far from God, but to have God reigning in us. So when we look at somebody, it is Jesus looking through our gazes. When we speak to somebody, it is Jesus speaking in our speaking. And see, that's the thing that we have to accomplish by not having us in the way. See, it will come to a point that when the Divine Will begins to reign, when all the miracles begin to happen, as you walk into a hospital, people will be healed. Because it's not you, you're just the skin of Jesus. Jesus is gazing in your gazing. Jesus is walking in your walking. Jesus, see, he wants us to participate in him. Like when the priest puts a drop of water into that chalice filled with wine, that water fuses and diffuses and becomes wine. It's not oil and water, it's not separated, but it becomes one. We're the nothing, and God wants us to participate in him, sharing his divinity. That's why when he says, you can say to that mountain, move, and it must move. You could say to that sycamore, be uprooted and cast in the sea, and it must obey you. When Peter was walking on the water, Jesus didn't say, great job, Pete. You went 20 feet and then you sank. He said, why did you fail? Why did you falter? Where's your faith? See, God is expecting us to do divine things. That's what this great gift of the Divine Will is going to teach us. When he said to Philip, you feed the 5,000, he wasn't just teasing Philip. He says, you feed them. I want to see this. And Philip said, with 200 days' wages, I won't even be able to feed him. And Jesus says, you failed. You're thinking humanly. You have to begin to think divinely. See, our God is, he wants us to be like him in his image and likeness. He wants us to participate in who God is. That's why he breathed into the dirt. He breathed into the dust. Because he wanted this dirt, Adam, to be like God, image and likeness of God. This is why it's so important that we turn off our phones during conferences. Or something like that. Wait, that's not the line. Sorry. Okay. Volume 3. See what happens? I get totally distracted. It's awful. Volume 3, 11:21-99. This morning, as soon as he came, my most blessed, beloved Jesus told me, "My daughter, all your pleasure must be in reflecting yourself in me." So the joy that God wants us to have is to be reflected in God. This is what our Lord desires. So why do we receive Holy Communion? We receive Holy Communion, and that 15 minutes after we receive Holy Communion, we adore Him, we love Him, we praise Him, we thank Him, we bless Him, we worship Him. He is getting us ready until the host dissolves. That 15 minutes is so important. It's not a place of fellowship. It's a place to adore God, love God, thank God, glorify God, worship God. And if everybody's talking in church, kneel there in the name of everybody for all the noise. I love you, I adore you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you. For every laughter, I love you, I praise you. So you don't have to give them the evil eye, but you just... how beautiful it is to fall in love with God. See, this is the reason for this. Is that there's three breads. The third bread is your wonder bread, your daily bread. Your second bread is the super substantial bread of the Holy Eucharist. Okay, we receive Jesus in a mystical, real but mystical way. The first bread is to begin to receive the food that we do not know of, Jesus says. And that is living in the will of God. Now, with this first bread, the Lord is preparing us for a perennial communion with God. As Adam walked and talked in the cool of the evening, we begin to walk and talk with God in the cool of the evening. No matter where you are, you can be in paradise in the Garden of Eden as you walk and talk with God. So again, there's no time or space in the divine will. So, like I said before, to bilocate is going to be a very natural thing to do. You can be in Gethsemane. You can be in Bethlehem. You can be at Mount Tabor. You can be in Capernaum. You can be at the Garden of Eden. See, there's no time or space. See, we belong in eternity. That's why God created us, for eternity. And this body gets old, gray-haired, wrinkles, and dies. But that was never part of God's plan. We're supposed to be eternally young as God is eternally young. And when Adam sinned, we were thrown out of eternity, the Garden of Eden, and we're trapped in time and space where the devil is. Now, as we call the divine will, "Come, divine will, come reign in me," as we continuously call the divine will with our prevenient act in the morning and our actual acts throughout the day, what happens at that point is it's something that's glorious. It's something that has not been seen since Jesus and Mary left. And it's God reigning in us. See, this calling upon this great gift of the divine will. When heaven comes to earth, the devil has to leave. He can't stay here anymore. He's been banished from heaven. And when we call heaven to earth, "May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven," the devil cannot stay here. So what's happening today is this. You see the floods, the famines, the plagues, the earthquakes, the horrendous things that are happening. And that is Our Lady crushing the head of Lucifer. And his tail is swinging all over the place. As you step on a snake, the tail goes wild. That's what we're seeing. Now, for everybody else, the sign of the times is earthquakes, floods, famines, plagues, and the horrendous things. God is saying, look what's going on. For us, the sign of the times is Luisa Picaretta and this great gift of the divine will. nothing should disturb us. Nothing should bother us. As a matter of fact, as you enter into this gift, you're filled with peace, joy, and happiness. There's no more worry, no more fear, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. And you'll see sin in your life disappearing. Why? Because as you call Jesus to be in your heart beating, the devil does not want to be around you. Jesus, breathe in my breathing. Jesus, walk in my walking. Jesus, dance in my dancing. Jesus, be alive in me. The devil flees. He can't stay around you. This is what's so glorious about this gift, because he wants to pull as many people into hell as he possibly can, because he knows his time is over. His time is very, very short. With us, when something goes wrong, what are you going to do? Fiat. Nothing to worry about. Well, if this is happening and that's happening, fiat. God's in charge. See, to the reality, the truth is that God is in charge and we are with him. The triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary has begun because of the divine will, and we are with her. The Eucharistic reign of Jesus has begun, and we are with him. There's nothing to worry about. See, and as we begin to live this life, as we begin to pray and study and put this into practice, misery takes off, because most people want to share in their misery. You get phone calls and, let me tell you about this, let me tell you about that, let me tell you about this, let me tell you. And as you keep on saying, fiat, 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 they go, I don't want to talk to you. So then you have more time to read the volumes. That's what's great about this. See, reading the volumes, so many people, I know when they're not reading. They're not reading when they're miserable. But the souls that are reading the divine will, they say, I'm so happy. Why are they so happy? Because they have entered into heaven. This is the book of heaven. Jesus says, "This is the no other book is like this. This book will transform a soul." So as we begin to read this, as we begin to study this, as we begin to put this into practice, we're free of the devil and all the traps that he sets for us. So again, it's just so glorious. So, my daughter, all your pleasure must be in reflecting yourself in me. If you do this always, you will portray all of my divine qualities, my divine, whatever that word is, and my very features within you. And I, in return, will find all my tastes and my highest contentments in delighting in you by reflecting myself in you. See, this is why I'm saying, as the divine will reigns, as you walk into a hospital, people will begin to be healed. Because it's not you. It's Jesus. Jesus wants to be alive in you. Jesus wants to reign in you. He has such great plans that he needs us to cooperate. And his plans are so powerful, they're so holy, they're so perfect, that we actually cooperate with the angels and the saints as God begins to lead us to a life that the angels and the saints, if they could envy, would envy. See, what Jesus tells us about the saints, the saints are beautiful stars at night. And if you've flown at night, when you're taking off and you look at all the lights of the city, how beautiful that is, that's the saints. You look at the sky at night, that's the saints. He says, Luisa, you are a second sun that will give light and life to everyone and everything. Now, the stars are still out there, but you can't see them because the sun eclipses them. So do you see what Jesus is calling us to? That's why the woman clothed with the sun, Our Lady of Guadalupe, Jesus clothed with the sun at Mount Tabor. This is our life. This is what God wants us to participate in. It's not a human life. It's a glorified human life. the way God originally planned humans to live. It's to be, to live that preternatural life that only Adam lived and Jesus and Mary lived. No saint lived this life. So you can't find these teachings in any of the saints, because it's not there. They didn't experience it. They have no idea what it is. Jesus and Mary breathed this life into Louisa. And as, like Our Lady said to Louisa, I'm going to teach you a way of heaven and no longer a way of earth. This life is so spectacular that as you begin to live this life, little by little, you become freed of all that is human. And you begin to embrace all that is divine. Now, no one lives this life yet. Louisa lived it. And the first one who will live this, according to what Jesus shows us, is the Holy Father. Because, you see, you need a man and a woman. Adam and Eve, Jesus and Mary, and Louisa, and who? What's the Pope? He has the keys to the kingdom. And Jesus says to Louisa in Volume 15, I give this gift to you so that you, Louisa, will give it back to the man, the Pope. The keys to the kingdom, he will open the door, there will be one church, one flock, one shepherd. The Jews will be converted first. The Buddhists, the Hindus, the Muslims, the Protestants will all become Catholic. Because this is the universal life that our God wants us to live. So don't fall into the trap that all religions are okay. There's one faith, one flock, one shepherd that is going to exist when everything else is straightened out. And it's the Pope who will open the doors to the kingdom. That's why we pray for the Holy Father. And we pray it's Francis. We pray it's Pope Francis. You know, we were hoping John Paul II. We were hoping Pope Benedict. But I don't think there was enough prayers. I think the prayer that wasn't prayed is the rounds. And now that we have the rounds book, as we begin to pray these, things change very, very powerfully with these rounds. Having said this, he disappeared, and I was meditating in my mind on the words Jesus had told me. That's what we do. We study this. And all of a sudden, Jesus came back, placing his holy hand in my head and turning my face toward him. He added, today, I want to delight a little bit by reflecting myself in you. A shiver ran through my whole back, such as a fright as to feel I was dying, because I saw that he was staring at me, wanting to delight in my thoughts, delight in my gazes, delight in my words, and all the rest, by reflecting himself in me. You see, now that's what Jesus wants. He wants to delight himself in you, in your thoughts, in your gazes, in your words. So when you're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, he can't be there. See, that's why we have to stop that. It's to be filled with peace, joy, and happiness. I kept repeating to myself, my interior, oh, God, am I an object fit for letting you delight, for embittering you? In the meantime, our dear Queen Mama came to my help, carrying a pure white garment in her hand. And all loving, she told me, my daughter, do not fear. I myself want to make up for you by clothing you with my innocence, so that in reflecting himself in you, my son may find the greatest delight that can be found in a human creature. So here, Our Lady is always there to help. She wants us, her triumph is that we become like Jesus. And so she will make up for us in our sinfulness, as Jesus made up for us in our sinfulness, because she co-redeems with Christ. She is with Christ in redeeming. She is not the redeemer. Jesus is the only redeemer. But because of her love, it's so great that she cooperates with this and with us. So she clothed me with a garment and she offered me to my dear good Jesus, telling him, accept her out of regard for me, O dear son, and delight in her. So every fear went away from me, and Jesus delighted in me, and I in him. Now, see, this is the thing. Adam was clothed in divinity, and when Adam sinned, he was naked. He lost the royal garments. And see, Jesus and Mary want us to be clothed in divinity again. Now, It's, see, this isn't about being holy and good and saintly. It goes beyond that. See, the saints were holy, good, and saintly, but in a human manner. Now Jesus wants us to share in the sanctity of sanctities, which is this great gift of the divine will, which goes beyond the sanctity of the saints. Now that's the thing that's so beautiful and so amazing. Our God is so in love with us that he wants to clothe us again in divinity. So you can see here, Mary, she initiates it. It's like when she initiated Jesus. It's time. They ran out of wine. And he goes, why are you saying this to me? You know. So what does God do? He makes 150 gallons of wine. Not just a bottle or two. 150 gallons of wine. That to me is astonishing. You know, it just shows one thing, that the apostles loved a good glass of wine in their hand. Maybe play a little bit. Okay. Volume 4, 1225, 1900. I was in my usual state, and I felt myself outside of myself, and I was wandering around. I found myself inside a cave, and I saw the Queen Mama in the act of giving birth to little baby Jesus. What a wonderful prodigy. Do you see, there's, again, this gift of bilocation. It's not a pious thought. It's an actuality that occurs. When you pray, you can actually be in Capernaum. You can actually be at Bethlehem. You're going to be astonished what our Lord is going to do. And how beautiful this is, because, I mean, we have great movies out there now, and it helps us get into the mood, like, you know, Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ. You begin to see a little bit of what Jesus went through, yet God is going to show you more. And if you haven't seen The Passion of the Christ, it's important that you do. You must see Christ crucified. You must know what he went through. The reason we know this is he wanted his mother there. He wanted his mother to witness his crucifixion and death. Well, you know, what mother would want to watch their child die? A horrible death. But he wanted her there to show her how much he loves us. And she was there to offer her son in sacrifice for us. She knew whether either he died or all of us died eternally. So she sacrificed her son for us. Gives you a little clue of how much Jesus and Mary love us and why they want us to know about this newborn, Luisa Picaretta, this firstborn, because they know that their life has been given to her. And if we link up ourselves up to Luisa, we will have the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. This is what God has planned. It seemed that both mother and son were transformed in a most pure light. But in that light, one could see very clearly the human nature of Jesus, containing the divinity within itself and serving as a veil to cover the divinity in such a way that in tearing the veil of the human nature, he was God, while covered by that veil, he was man. Here is the prodigy of prodigies. God and man and God. Without leaving the Father and the Holy Spirit, becoming true love never separates. Because true love never separates, he comes to live in our midst, taking on human flesh. Now it seemed to me that the Mother and the Son, in that most happy instant, remained as though spiritualized. And without the slightest difficulty, Jesus came out of the maternal womb, while both of them overflowed with excess of love. In other words, those most pure bodies were transformed into light, and without the slightest impediment, light Jesus came out of light of the mother, while both one and the other remained whole and intact, returning them to their natural state. So there's an image, when you go to Corrado, there's an image in Luisa's room of Jesus coming out of Mary as light, and Mary filled with light, and it's so beautiful. Who could tell the beauty of the little baby who, in the moment of his birth, transfused also externally the rays of the divinity? Who could tell of the beauty that the mother who remained all absorbed in those divine rays? And St. Joseph, it seemed to me that he was not present in the act of the birth, but remained in another corner of the cave, all engrossed in that profound mystery. If he did not see with the eyes of the body, he saw very clearly with the eyes of the soul, because he remained enraptured and in sublime ecstasy. See, that's the other thing too. This, we're going to be enraptured with this ecstasy in ways that will astonish us. See, the divine will is to begin to hear, see, smell, taste, and touch love. See, our senses were made for the love of God. And we're going to see things that are going to fill our souls with love. We're going to hear things that are going to fill our souls with love. The ecstasy that we're talking about has not been seen since Adam left. The ecstasy is the life of Jesus and Mary that no saint possessed. See, God has truly saved the best for last. He wants us to participate in Him so that the kingdom can be established in us on earth as it is in heaven. How glorious is this? See, we're not just talking about being good and holy and saintly. We're talking about sharing in divinity. As the priest says it every day at Holy Mass, may we share in the divinity of Christ. And to get a glimpse of this, read the Epistle of St. Peter, where he talks about sharing in divinity. It's astonishing. And I feel kind of sad that we don't read that enough, of what God is going to do for us, what God expects us to do for Him. And it's basically to just give our fiat and let Him reign in us triumphantly, to be Lord of our life, the King of our life, so that He gazes in our gazing, He hears in our hearing, He walks in our walking. He is truly Lord of our life in all aspects. So again, the miracles that we see in the Old Testament, the miracles we see in the New Testament, are going to be nothing compared to the miracles that are going to come. It's as we begin to live this life of Jesus and Mary that they breathed into Louisa, as we begin to live this abundant life, it's forever being in ecstasy. St. Thomas Aquinas says it's the beatific vision is the awe of God. It's to be forever, oh, how great God is, how beautiful God is, how holy God is, how perfect God is. So our God wants us to participate in that as we get ready for His return. Remember what He said to St. Faustina? He said, I give you the final devotion to my church, divine mercy, before I return. The final devotion is divine mercy. The divine will isn't a devotion, as Father said this morning. The divine will is Jesus' life, His true life, Mary's life, her true life, that they want to reign in us. So we'll end there in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Oh, why don't we say prayers? Bless us, O Lord, in these Thy gifts, which we are about to receive, Thy bounty through Christ. Come, divine will, come eat in our eating, give perfect glory, honor, and praise to the Heavenly Father, in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. And we ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, on this great feast of St. Lucy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.